is Maytag Month, and Menards is passing the savings on to you. You need reliable and energy-efficient appliances to conquer the day. Menards is your one-stop shop with appliances in stock and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Save big money on Maytag appliances at Menards. And check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here comes the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio. Here's Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Oh, hell yeah. You about to get all stung up.
Final hour of The Killer Bees here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George now here, because Jeremy had other more important things to do than hang out with us for the last hour of the show. BMAC behind the glass. Joel here still. The only one putting in a real 3 hours of work doing their actual job today.
Pretty every day.
So congratulations, Joel.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Real quick here on the what we were just talking about with Dusty Baker and next year. It's funny that we're having this conversation because I, like you, Joel, was very no on Dusty Baker. Mm-hmm. It was no matter what. It's time for Dusty Baker to not be here next year, and it's time to move on. It's funny how much the playoffs change your perspective, because like hearing the question right away, it's like, yeah, Dusty Baker should be back. Selfishly, for the first part of this, I think he's great content. Like, for the show, the station, the media in general, the Dusty Baker decisions that he makes throughout the year is great content for all of us, because it gives a reaction. And yes, the next manager might do so, but I'm all for it. The only caveat I would give to if Dusty Baker is going to be back, it comes down to, and we're going to do a little bit more on Yiner Diaz in the next segment, it really comes down to Yiner Diaz. Like, next season, the expectation is that he needs to play more than he has played this year. Doesn't matter who the manager is. So, like, if Dusty's going to be back, I think that's just one thing. Now, Michael Brantley, I think, is probably a no. I think he rides off into the sunset, hopefully with a World Series ring that he can, you know, be on the field for this time to win. And Yiner Diaz can DH more next year. But that's like my only caveat, is if Dusty Baker is going to be here next year, I would just like to see Yiner Diaz play more. But it's hard not to live in the moment and just be like, yeah, if Dusty wants to come back, Dusty gets to come back.
Look, you're right. I think it goes back to the conversation we just had in terms of what is the most powerful and impactful things when you're trying to figure out who's the best manager in the history of the Astros. The playoffs matter. They're magnified. They mean more. So if Dusty does what he does in the regular season and it infuriates and it frustrates others like it, and it frustrates me, that leads us, Joe, to kind of come to the conclusions that we did leading into the playoffs. But when you get playoff victories, when you get them the way that they got them, when he impacts those victories with the moves that he makes, it's also easy to see why there is a path for him to be the manager of this team again next year, whether they win the World Series or not. The thing that I kind of always want to bring up now as a caveat, because of what's been brought up through idiots and that scrutinize media and otherwise, I never would say that I want this team to lose so that we get rid of a manager. I never would say that this guy can't come back and be the manager of this team next year. What matters most is this team getting wins? Is this team getting victories? Is it continuing to live up to the potential that we see and know it still has? To this point, they are. And the way they're doing it says if Dusty wants to come back or they want Dusty back and they can agree, concessions, I think, is the discussion. He can come back and manage his team, but you got to make some concessions. I think you're right. Yiner's got to be the starting catcher next year. You know, is Maldi willing to make the concession to be the backup, to stay a part of this organization and to kind of teach him the ropes while he still gets an opportunity to play and be a part of this winning culture? Great. If he's not, that's a tough discussion. Michael Brantley, if you want to come back on a sweetheart deal because you basically stole money for three quarters of the year and they don't have to play you all the time, but you're going to be there when the time is right and then getting you geared up so that when the playoffs come around again, you're ready to go yet again and you do it at a very reasonable price, then that's a concession on both sides and that can be had. If you're not, hate to break it to you folks, but I hope he does get a chance to ride off into the sunset, but you can't do that again.
Yeah, it's so interesting, too, because the Astros are really just, I feel like they operate so differently than almost every professional sports team, because like Dusty Baker is going year to year with his contracts, and it really feels like it's only up to Jim Crane. You know, it's very similar to Justin Verlander. It was like, we're going to pay Justin Verlander. We're going to retrade for Justin Verlander. We're going to keep Dusty Baker on a year-to-year deal. We're going to fire a general manager after winning the World Series. So, like, Jim Crane is really the one who calls the shots here. And I don't expect Dana Brown to have much, you know, to have much say-so in this, honestly. And you look at the text reaction right away, it's like one of the first things we get here is 8143, no to Dusty Baker coming back. I think the Astros are winning in spite of him. I personally, I don't agree with that.
Because
you can say that, like, it's how it always goes, right? Like, a manager gets too much credit, I think, in baseball when you win, and they get too much blame when they lose. Like, a manager, for the most part, can only do what his players are going to do. Like, if he goes to Brian Abreu in the eighth, and then Ryan Pressly blows the game in the ninth, and, like, people are going to crush Dusty Baker for it, it's not his fault. Ryan Pressly's the closer.
Think about
it's
that,
Ryan
too, Joe.
Pressly blowing the game, not Dusty Baker.
As great of a call it was on your part that you're going to use Abreu in the highest of high-leverage situations, that almost backfired last night because Pressly had to face the meat of that order in the ninth inning, but he got the job done. You're right. And I think that, look, I go back to keep saying, and I'll keep saying this, the reason why I scrutinized Dusty the way I did is because I'm not so sure that this had to be as close of a race all season long as it turned out to be in the final week of the season until they kind of backdoored their way into winning the division. I think if you have less of the Dusty being Dusty and the Pawpaw's belly trust, you have more wins at the end of the season, and you're not looking at trying to scratch and claw your way into winning the division.
Yeah. One thing you guys also talked about earlier that I didn't weigh in too much on that I did want to address. I know you have, you know, you get annoyed by the tweets from Mr. Gelski, Mr. Not Santa.
Icy, yep. Icy hot.
I do want to take this moment to apologize. I do want to say, Mr. Bagwell, I'm sorry.
Like, really?
It was frustrating the whole season. Well,
will you say that next year when Montero's still making what he's making and blowing up and imploding?
Maybe not, but like at least for now, like Jose Abreu is worth he's worth every penny. Like what he's done the last part of the season, what he's done early in the playoffs, Jose Abreu has been everything you've needed and more. We talked about keys to the series to going back to the World Series, and I said the corners. Well, the corners showed up, man. Like Bregman and Abreu were as good as they can be. I saw way less buzzkill tweets from Dr. Dre so far in the playoffs than I was expecting. And Jose Abreu, like, without him, I don't know where you are.
Oh, you're not.
You might not even be in the playoffs Abreu. And now you're in the ALCS, and I have full confidence. And I had it before. It's like, if they get here, they're the best team, and I have full confidence that they are going to run through the Rangers, and they're going to get to the World Series, and I think we're going to get a rematch between them and the Phillies.
I think it's possible. Yeah, I'd be happy if they got there. I can't look past the Rangers because as much as you dominated them in the regular season, this team's red hot right now.
Yeah, they're real hot.
So yeah, I'm taking everything a game at a time. I mean, first of all, I'm not saying it can kiss my ass because it gets too annoying that all he does is continue to retweet that anytime one of the three do well, and it is all fun and games. Because we've met him before, and he's actually showed his face and put his face with his name, and we've had some fun with it. But the fact is, I still don't believe in Montero. I still have deep concerns about two more years of Montero at that price to do what I fully expect him to do, just like he did this season. Be okay, but not be one of the top eight relievers in baseball. I do have deep concerns as much as I love what Abreu is doing right now. Can he do it for a full 162 next year? Are we going to continue to see the decline to where it's going to be the return on investment that is going to be way lower than what you needed to get out of the deal? And Brantley, look, it wasn't as long of a deal, but you basically threw away three quarters of the season and say $8 to $9 million of that $12+ million deal. He's been good right now, but for how long?
Yeah, it's so interesting to see like the way that like these guys have turned it on. We'll say with the Montero part of this is the one that I think Dusty made it clear in this series, like he doesn't really believe in him either. So Montero is a guy that if the Astros are gonna, you know, even not just lose, like not just win the ALCS and win the World Series, I don't expect to see a lot of Rafael Montero through the next, you know, 14 games or whatever's left in the season. I just think he's going to really be, you know, not part of this team except in blowout situations. I don't expect much from him.
But that's the problem.
No, and it definitely is a problem.
Return on investment, we always talk about the ROI. And the ROI is one thing. We talk about the back of the baseball card because of Jeff Bagwell. Well, the back of the baseball card should have told you that you were never going to get the return on investment if you gave him 3 years and $33 million because he had a career year last year. So that's what's so concerning. That's why I won't give Bags his flowers and I won't do what Not Santa wants us all to do. It's because it's still a mistake in the grand scheme of things when you give a guy that's basically had one career year and otherwise been a journeyman the kind of money and where it sits in baseball with how important money is.
Let's tie these conversations together. More likely to be back next year on opening day for the Astros, Dusty Baker or Rafael Montero?
Dusty Baker.
I agree. I think Dana Brown gets out of that contract.
He's going to try.
I think he trades him for like an A-ball guy who's had Tommy John twice. And it's like, please just take him. Frankly, go the JV route. Like, pay the money, get him out of here if you're not going to use him. Reallocate that money or pay Hector Neris. Do something. But, I think there's a better chance that Dusty's back next year than Montero.
I agree with that. And I think that, Joe, you're onto something because I had a conversation with a buddy of mine this morning. That I just fully believe that the most important guy that you have to retain in that bullpen is Hector Neris. He's been too valuable. He's done so many good things. Yeah, he did the one bad thing, but you know what? We can look past that because, again, he did it last night. And when you put him in, everybody wants to say, well, you can't use him again because of what happened in game two. Not true. Game one. The fact of the matter is, this dude has been Houdini all year for you. His stuff translates to outs. He gets you out of big jams. He doesn't sit there and melt under pressure. And he's been a guy that when you call his number, he gets it done for you. And I think he's so important as we continue this golden era to keep him around as opposed to letting him walk and go somewhere else. And he certainly, if he was, let me flip it on you. If this was a year ago, Hector Neris, would you feel more comfortable giving Hector Neris a Montero deal or Montero?
Probably. I probably would have said Neris because like it was always, I never was a real believer in Montero who he was last year. And it was a bad contract. Like there's absolutely no doubt about that. But look, the Astros are in the ALCS. Game one is on Sunday. You'll hear that game right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Justin Verlander will be on the mound. How much playing time do you want? Will we see from Yainer Diaz? We discuss that next year on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Look, guys, the big weekend starts tonight. You know, you got NFL, you got college football. You heard Lee Sterling give you some advice, and there's so much more there on the bone. But if you heard what you heard and you liked what he had to say and you thought, well, maybe I can cash in on that, you can. And the only place I tell you to do that is mybookie.ag. We just got done talking Astros. You feel good about the Astros taking on the Oklahoma City Rangers and you want to get some money in on it? Well, go right ahead. Go to mybookie.ag and use the promo code BET975 because as a listener to ESPN 97.5, if you always remember the promo code BET975 and every time you put $50 or more into your account, like right now, whether you're getting in for the first time or you're reloading your account, use that promo code and cash in immediately because before you even put money down on a game, if you put in at least $50, you're going to get 200 extra bucks in your account. It's like magic. It's awesome. More money in your account, more games you can bet on, more chances to win. Why wouldn't you love all of that and love MyBookie for doing it for you just by knowing the promo code BET975? That's the kind of thing that they do on a daily basis. They take care of their customers. They got all kinds of other things going on, promotions where you can cash in. They've got live dealers standing by if you just want to play casino games. But the main thing is they're customer focused and they don't just talk about it. They're all about it. That means they do these kind of things regularly where you can cash in. And oh, by the way, you get that bonus money. If you bet it one time and win, you can actually check it out. Get the money in your back pocket. Have some fun with it. Compliments of mybookie.ag. That's why I love these guys. That's why it's the only place I tell you to go to, because they take care of their customers. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it. It's mybookie.ag and use that promo code BET975.
You're welcome. All teams covered. No stalking points necessary. You're back with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Joe George and Joel Blank here with you on the Killer Bees till 6 o'clock. Then we'll have Game On with Barry Laminack and Jerome Solomon coming up after us. Jeremy Branham out getting ready for the Cougs game today as they get ready to take on West Virginia. I'm sure he didn't like Lee Sterling's prediction about that game.
I noticed that he not only gave it to me, but then he was extremely silent when Lee was breaking it down.
What's he supposed to say?
I mean, I know, but you know how he is with his Cougs.
Yeah, all right. So Yainer Diaz started one game in the ALDS, and now the ALCS approaching. You know, I think it's safe to say that Verlander, Fromber, Javier Urquidy, 1 through 4, And then maybe J.P. France goes game five or just goes back to Verlander. At this point, it's hard to say. But like I don't expect Yainer Diaz to catch a single game in the postseason. And frankly, I probably don't expect him, unless Michael Brantley is sore, to start more than one game in the ALCS. Because I think Dusty Baker like realized like that one game was nice, but the way they're attacking him, you know, like I think he's unplayable. He's so cold, and Brantley's rolling. So like I think it'd be a mistake to put Yainer in.
Take Dusty out of the equation, Joe, and the answer is you're not going to see Yainer Diaz unless there's a pinch hitting role or there's a late game cleanup.
Yep.
Because of the fact that we already told you going into the division series that Yainer Diaz is not going to catch a single game in this series. Hate to break it to you, that's a fact, okay? And then there was already apprehension because of the numbers when Dusty decided that he had to do what he probably felt some pressure to do and get Yainer some at-bats. When you saw those at-bats, nothing should have told you that you need to see more of them. Nothing should have told you that he is a guy that should be DHing over Michael Brantley. And oh, by the way, Uncle Mike is raking right now. And as everybody nationally and locally have told you, he is a professional hitter. This is what he does, and this is at a time when he got a ring last year, but he wants to be a big part of a ring. He's going to make sure that he's okay to play, unless it's really drastic with his shoulder. And I just think Yainer Diaz has been put on ice. Unless you see a mop-up or a late inning pinch hit when you need a bopper with a chance to kind of get one big swing to get you back in. Other than that, the Yainer discussions can be tabled until next year.
Yeah, the only time, you know, just if based on what we've seen from Michael Brantley's track record, I guess there'd be some kind of question of will he play in this stretch would be game 3, 4, and 5. You know, it's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week. So like maybe we see like a Yainer Diaz in game 3 or game 4, and then Michael Brantley plays the other two games. But I just don't expect him to start much, if not at all. And frankly, no, it doesn't matter the matchups, because if it's a lefty out there, I still want Brantley.
No doubt. Like, and because he's a professional hitter.
He's so good. Like the way he's played, and professional hitter, I feel like it's underselling him. The fact that he can be out for as long as he is and then come back and immediately be good. Like
no rehab stint either.
Exactly. His first rehab stint, I think he went 0-for-4, but every single hit had 90-plus miles an hour on his exit velocity. His last return, he got right back into the swing of things. Like, what he does is so impressive. There's probably very few baseball players on this planet that can be as good as he is coming off an injury stint or off of a couple days. Like, he's the only one that can do
Let's also think about this, Joe. Late in the season, and then again yesterday, let's think about what the knock was on Brantley that we saw wasn't a knock on Brantley. He has pop. Not extra base pop, not doubles pop, yard pop.
Yep.
You know what? He got you yard pop when you needed it most, in the biggest games of the year. So there's no reason to believe he can't keep doing that if he has to, but the professional hitter thing plus the pop mm-hmm. takes you to a level where you say, look, we all loved what Yainer did in the regular season. But this is why I was adamant about saying the one thing you got to be in so many different cases, J.P. France, Yainer Diaz, experience matters. Mm-hmm. Playoff experience matters, not major league experience. Now, he's going to go into Arlington at a place where he's had success against a pitching staff and a team where he knows he and the team has had success. Maybe that gives him a little bit more of a comfort if he's in Arlington in this series. It's still the playoffs. It's still the bright lights. It's still the big stage. Why would you go away from Michael Brantley if it's working?
I would be shocked if they do, honestly. The other guy I think that we've just kind of unfairly neglected today when talking about yesterday's game, frankly, I think it's the moment where I really was like, oh, this game's over, was the Jeremy Peña double play.
Oh, my God.
That play was electric. What Jeremy Peña has done, in the regular season, the postseason, and the pop was almost there yesterday. The home runs are gone. But he has been so consistently just good, and then I think excellent is fair to say on defense. That play early in the game yesterday was a complete game changer. I mean, like right away, they take Jose Urquidy almost deep in the first inning, and then to catch it and make the diving tag was absolutely incredible.
It was, and it was a game changer for Urquidy, I believe. because I believe if he doesn't make that play, you're setting yourself up for a potential for a big inning or a crooked number, which means Urquidy might not survive the first inning.
Yeah.
And I had said, as we were starting to watch the game, that the first thing that I was concerned about was just Urquidy's first inning, because the first inning is so essential and crucial to Urquidy for his comfort level so that he can settle in and do it. And LaRosa and I were watching the first inning, and I said, man, this is key. You got to be really careful here. And then the double play happened. And I'm like, now you can take that big sigh of relief. He still gave up the home run, but he avoided the crooked number. And that was so big because I told you guys when the series started, the game within the game unfairly was going to be Correa versus Peña. People lost their mind about the play Correa made to end the game against Peña in the ninth inning when it really didn't matter. The plays Peña made defensively, he's never going to have the cannon that Peña has, but the plays he made at the most crucial points in big-time games were more impactful. Yeah, Correa, we know what he can do, but what we saw Jeremy Peña do means if you still believe pay the man, you're an idiot. Because $30 million versus what Peña's making and the plays that Peña continues to make, I'm good with Peña.
I saw Jeremy tweet this. Pay the man. Pay Peña. We've talked about this. We talked about it before the season started. Like, based on the history of the Atlanta Braves with what Dana Brown saw when he was there, like, we thought there was a chance you could see Jeremy Peña get a contract at some point this offseason. I think it's coming. Like, and frankly, I'm ready for it. Like, I don't think it's going to be some astronomical number. I think you're going to get him on a good, fair deal like we saw the Braves do with, like, a Michael Harris. But he just brings so much. Like, you think about that first inning. Julian hits the double to center, and then you get the double play, and then Royce Lewis goes deep. If he doesn't make that play, you've got, at best, either a run's already scored or runners at the corners, and then it's a 3-0 game if Lewis follows track and goes deep. That's a totally different ball game in that moment. You can't deny how big of a play that was. It was absolutely incredible.
Minimum, you're down 2-0. The chance for a big inning is wide open, and the percentages go way up. And he makes a play that literally was a game changer and a game saver, because you think about it, and it ends up 3-2, and you get both your scoring opportunities off long balls.
Mm-hmm.
You'd have been in a tie game, probably.
I think it changed the game.
And then they get the home run later. They win the game 4-3 if it just plays out. You look at the ifs, buts, candies, nuts, but the thing to your point on the contract, would he be willing to take a Yordan-type deal that still is a little bit more team-friendly, but you appreciate the fact they're doing it sooner than they have to? Or is he going to be a guy that says, no, I can be Correa when all this plays out. I can get the massive money I'm holding out.
Well, frankly, if Jeremy Peña's agent's telling him that, I think he's getting bad advice. Because, like, I think he's a really good player. I don't think he's ever going to get a $30 million contract. So that's why I think you can pay him now. And you're probably buying out a year or two of free agency. You're mm-hmm. not buying out 5-6 years. So it's very similar to, like, what Bregman's does, but cheaper. I would pay Peña this offseason. And it's because of plays like we saw last night and what we've seen through the ALDS and all of the postseason last year. He's an incredible talent.
It's the it gene, Joe.
He has it. He just has it. Like, he has everything you possibly need from a shortstop. He has all the swag. He has all the ability. I would love to see the pop come back. But even then, the way he gets on base, it's plenty for me. All right. We talked about Jerry Jeudy a little bit earlier. Should the Texans pursue other trade deadline targets, mainly from the Broncos, other teams that might sell? We discuss that next here on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about my good friend Doc Linville again. Look, I've been telling you about him forever and a day, and it's because I can speak from personal experience. I had the NeoGraft procedure. Doc was the one that contacted me. He told me, Joel, you got to consider this, man. You can get your hairline back. I thought it was gone forever. I thought eventually I was going to shave my head. I just didn't think there were any answers other than the sprays and the creams and the foams that are just going to mask the problem. When he explained to me and walked me through the NeoGraft procedure, when I did my consultation, when I understood that you're never going to lose the hair on the sides of the back of your head, no matter where else you lose it, and that he can take some of that, repurpose it, and get you the coverage area that you've always had when you were younger, I was convinced. I was locked in. He told me 95 to 99% of the follicles that he moves are going to stay and grow, be with you for the long haul, never go anywhere because you're taking them from a spot that they will never disappear. When I saw it actually firsthand by going through the procedure, then saw the hair get stronger and longer with every passing day, and then in 6 to 9 months see the full results, could not be happier, and you could be the next in line to get that consultation and then get that procedure. And the bottom line is you get the consultation for free, like I did. You don't have to pay the $150 that he normally charges everybody else. Because you're a listener to ESPN 97.5, because you go to 975hair.com to get the consultation, you get it free. Go in, no obligation, no signing on the bottom line, no money out of pocket. Ask all your questions, get all your answers, see if it's right for you too. If it is, you probably will come out happier than I did. And I came out ecstatic because the procedure doesn't hurt, because the procedure works, and because you get your hair back. It's as simple as that. Check it out today. Go to 975hair.com. Tell them Joel sent you by, because I could not be happier with Doc Linville.
Welcome back, Houston. These guys missed you over the last break. It's the Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Joe George and Joel Blank here with you on the Killer Bees till 6 o'clock on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. King of Twitch is calling me stupid for my take on Jeremy Pena, saying that they should give him a long-term contract right now.
Just take out the reason why and just call it a day that ends in Y when King of Twitch just kind of comes at you.
Thinks all my takes are bad.
He and Junior are not, they're the king of your anti-fan club.
That's fine. King still loves me. I know, King. You didn't actually call me stupid, but you said I know less baseball than your three-year-old niece. So that's the same thing. Same thing, right? If you say I know less baseball than a three-year-old, you're calling me stupid. Fair? Is that a fair assumption?
So that means you and Joseph are a push?
Yeah, he's 2.5.
But like, yeah, so you're a push because the three-year-old knows more?
How do you teach a little kid to catch?
Joseph.
I have a parent.
Please realize it ain't three is not the equation.
He can throw it.
Right.
He can throw it, but like I throw him the ball and it just like he just like lets it hit off his face.
One
like
day,
he doesn't put his hands up ever. And I thought we were close when he was like one. Like I was seeing signs. I was like, oh, he can catch. Like we're already there. We're backtracking.
No, you're fast tracking. Slow down. You've got plenty of time, but it's going to take a ton of it because I literally had the reason that I got my oldest daughter to finally understand how is they make a softball that is actually looks and feels and constructed just like a softball, but it's mushy. And that's the only way that you can avoid the fear factor of kids believe everything's going to hurt.
He doesn't even flinch, Joel. He just like lets it. He laughs half the time. Like, I throw the ball back, and it hits him in the face.
So, like, father, funny. Like, son, rockhead. So
apparently.
That, so Evan, it
maybe
doesn't
you're
bother.
Trying the wrong sport, Joe. Maybe you should play hockey.
He can play soccer. He can kick pretty well.
It sounds like he's got a future as a goalie in his future.
That's an expensive sport. I don't ever want my kid to play is hockey.
Oh, no. So, this is weird,
how do you
too.
Play hockey?
If he doesn't even flinch taking something off the face, it sounds like he's a hockey goalie.
Brian is onto something player. Here. But here's the other thing, which I found out, which is maybe because it's not a popular sport down here. There is a girl that plays on my daughter's softball team whose parents were trying to find the sport that she likes best. They signed her up for hockey. Out in Sugar Land, if you play hockey, it's like $150 for the season, and they give you the equipment.
Oh.
They give you the skates. They give you the equipment. I'm like, do you realize? I was telling the mom, do you realize what a deal that is? Coming up in the Midwest, where I know what hockey gear costs.
Yeah, the Midwest, which is so weird, because like I think it's just that makes me just think it was a scam growing
up. My daughter
that, or
hockey?
They're just more desperate to get kids to play.
That's
here.
What I'm saying, yeah. I don't want my daughter getting anywhere near hockey, but like if she wanted to pursue it, the fact that that's part of the deal, like even if she decides she ain't playing,
you get to
but
keep
they get to keep it.
It's a good deal.
It's a freaking awesome deal.
All right, let's get some text and stuff. So we talked about the Jerry Jeudy rumors earlier. But the Broncos are one of those teams, like, they're going to sell more than that. It sounds like Cortland Sutton's on the table. You know, there's other teams that might sell. I'm curious what, like, a team like the Carolina Panthers will do, specifically with Burns, the defensive end. Like, if they'll try to move him because their season's just falling apart. Do you want to see Nick Caserio be aggressive at all before the deadline? Because we are seeing kind of the tide change a little bit in the NFL, where the trade deadline – It's not Major League Baseball, and it's not even the NBA, but like it is moving towards like there being more trade activity in the NFL during the regular season. So would you like to see Nick Caserio be aggressive at all, or just kind of hold off till the offseason?
Here's my thing. I want you – it's your definition of the term aggressive, right? I believe – that as a general manager, you should be kicking – I've used this term way too much, but I use it all the time when it relates to any general manager in any situation like this. You should be kicking the tires on every single opportunity that is there and out there as a possibility. It doesn't mean you have to jump on any of them. It doesn't mean you have to attack any of them. But if you aren't kicking the tires and figuring out, well, what are they asking for? What would it take? Would this guy fit? Then you ain't doing your job. Because if you're doing your job correctly, before the Denver Broncos could even put up the sign that says fire sale, final deals, no offer refused, you need to be already calling Denver going, who are you getting rid of?
Yeah.
Who can I consider taking off your hands? This is what I'm looking for. What's it going to cost me? I'm looking at Sutton. I'm looking at Judy. I'm looking at guys on the offensive line. I'm looking at all these different players that you might be looking at trying to unload for the sake of just getting them off your books and saying, how many of these guys can I get at what price? And is that price getting me a player that's better than what I could get with my draft picks?
I am curious. The one player I'm most curious about is Patrick Surtain. Now, Benjamin Albright, who works for the flagship up there, the Broncos flagship, has said right now he's the only player
I would agree with that.
The Broncos are not going to move. But like, if you're going to fire sell, what the hell does a good corner do for you?
Well, but
like,
if you're
the worst team in the NFL, what does he do for you?
Well, but you're going to need another corner, and he's young, and he's a guy that you can still build around.
That's all fair.
So I think from Sean Payton's perspective, he still knows talent in football. We all know that every time a guy comes into a new situation, he wants to put his groceries in the cupboard before he starts serving dinner. And I don't think Russell Wilson's his guy. And I don't think that a lot of these veterans were his guy. And if there was a chance that they could win this year and he could actually kind of change people's minds and the perception of him and what's going to happen in Denver, then he was going to ride with the veterans early. When he figured out it's the same old Broncos as last year, now he's just going to do what's in his best interest for the long term, which is get the guys that I don't like out, the guys I don't think have the ability that the last guy did out, and let me start rebuilding the cupboard with my groceries. If that's the case, no matter who comes into this situation, you should say, Patrick Surtain's a guy that I believe factors into my long-term dinner. But other than that, if I'm looking at it, I need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I need defensive players that aren't going to disrupt the locker room doing it their way. Everybody's got to do it my way or it's the highway.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see like who sells it, because part of the equation, I think, is Caleb Williams.
No doubt.
That, like, could Minnesota, will they try to bail on Kirk Cousins? Will they try to trade him? I know yesterday he said he's not thinking about it because they asked him about his no-trade clause. I think that Kirk Cousins doesn't get moved, personally.
I think they want to.
I think they want to, but they've also, like, have an entire team of guys like Harrison Smith and a bunch of these veterans who have taken pay cuts to, you know, kind of buy into the Vikings way of what they've been trying to accomplish. So then now telling all those veterans who have taken pay cuts, hey, we're bailing, guys. Like, we're gonna bail on the season. Like, sorry, not sorry. But, like, we'll see what they do. Here, I mean, like, this is the same team organization that has traded Randy Moss and Stephon Diggs. Like, there's still people who believe that Justin Jefferson, like, could be on the move this offseason. I doubt it, but
here's the thing. You got to factor in a couple of things here, Joe, and it goes back to what I just said about Caserio. You always have to be kicking the tires. Part of kicking the tires is kick the tires in your own locker room. Sit down with Harrison Smith. Sit down with guys that have done solids for you and say, I want to do a solid by you. Do you want to play somewhere else if I can move you? I know you took less money in certain situations. So if you want to truly stay here, I will factor that in. I'm not giving you a guarantee, but I'll factor it in.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you want to go to a winning situation, if you want to go to a team that has a chance to win this year, I'm on board with doing it if you are, because that's the kind of work relationship you got to have when a guy's already taken less to stay. Because he's already done you a solid. Don't screw him over.
Yeah.
But I think that from the standpoint of like the Vikings, as opposed to the Broncos, you got a coach that doesn't have the kind of clout and you'd have to give up as much to get Sean Payton. Like if you're in Minnesota, yeah, Cousins has a no trade, but if Kirk Cousins is trying to play for another contract and you lost Jefferson for the next 4 weeks, how good are they going to be anyway?
And it sounds like it might be more than 4 weeks.
Yeah.
That like he might not be out there. One other thing that obviously we are keeping our eye on here in Houston throughout the NFL season is Deshaun Watson. Yeah. And the Cleveland Browns and where their draft pick is going to fall. And Josina Anderson has just reported that even though he's been medically cleared, that Deshaun Watson will not play this weekend against the San Francisco 49ers. And he is going to miss their game again. And it sounds like Houston Roughnecks legend P.J. Walker could be the starting quarterback.
Talk about throwing someone to the Wolves. You're playing the Niners Warner, with Bosa, with that front seven, with that defense. And on the flip side, you're talking about a dude that has checked out. You're talking about a dude that's got the money.
That's the vibe I get, too.
Yeah, he got the money, and now he's going to – because remember, you brought it up. He warmed up 2 weeks ago with the intention of – he got cleared after warming up and warmed up with the intention of showing he could play, and then he chose not to play.
And it's weird. I was listening to an interview. I think it was Albert Breer was on the Dan Patrick Show, and, like, what he brought up was, you know, was pain tolerance. Like, you know, like, yes, you might be medically cleared, but there is a pain tolerance threshold for which players are going to play. Now, I understand that, like, this is a different injury, but it's weird to hear someone talk about pain tolerance with Deshaun Watson when Deshaun Watson is the same guy who had a punctured lung, rode a bus from Houston to Jacksonville, and then played in that game just 3 or 4 years ago. Like, being that guy to now being medically cleared and missing 2 games in a row by choice, like, you're talking about 2 different quarterbacks in a lot of ways. And I think, yeah, I just don't think he wants to play.
No, I think I think you're missing something. The power of massage. The power of the massage.
He doesn't have a masseuse.
Yeah, the power of the massage was there then. It's not there now.
I was just going to ask, is it possible that he never actually wanted to be with the Cleveland Browns, but that was the team that willing to give him the contract that he got, and now that he's got the contract, he's pulling the move out of the playbook that other athletes have used before. Get the contract first, and then force your way out of that city to where you really want to play.
It's a good question.
Whether he wants to be traded or not, Brian, the biggest thing, too, is he Kelvin Cato? Does he really love the game? Because did he love the money and the fame, or does he love the game?
I was going to go Derek Bell Operation Shutdown.
It seemed like he did love the game at one point. I mean, like, to have a punctured lung, to ride a bus, like, all the stuff.
But you were on a rookie contract, Joe. You had to get the cash.
And he got paid.
Once you got the bag, things change.
Yeah, it's the whole thing is bizarre. Getting the bag changes
some players. You remember what happened to Sean Alexander in Seattle? I guess that's been about 15 years ago, but that was the talk around Sean Alexander. The Seahawks were worried about, as soon as we pay him, he's going to shut it down, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, it's fascinating to see kind of like what happens with Deshaun Watson. It's awesome for the Houston Texans. That defense is really talented, but between, you know, the kid from UCLA and then P.J. Walker, whoever's starting at quarterback, that team is not going to be able to sustain, you know, a 7, 8, 9, 10 win season. It's just a great thing for the Texans, the more that Deshaun Watson has a little owie on his shoulder and can't play football. All right, our car wreck of the day. We do that next here, our final segment of the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Apollo Men's Health has been doing it for a long time. They've been doing things that get good results for you. And it could be a variety of different ways. You could be getting older and you don't have the energy to get through your day and get the things done you used to, and you think there's no way to get it back. It could be the fact that you're going to the gym, but you're spinning your wheels. You don't feel like you're getting results, and you don't think there's anything you can do. You could have problems in the bedroom and think that there's no way that you can get your old self back again. You can. From the boardroom to the weight room to the bedroom, Apollo Men's Health are helping and changing people's lives on a daily basis. You want to lose weight, can't get to the gym, think that there's no solution for you? Now with FDA-approved semi-glutide, you can lose up to 6 pounds every week, and you don't have to touch a weight or a treadmill or a bike. It's fantastic the things they do. It's great the way they care about their patients. And it's amazing to see the results that they get on a daily basis. Check them out right now. Go to ApolloMH.com. See all the services they offer. If there's something that you think could help you, sign up for your first appointment right there online. When you do, most major insurance is accepted. Discounts for military personnel and first responders. Mention my name, Joel Blank, when you sign up. You'll get a free body composition on your first official visit, which will actually chart your results so that you can see when your body fat's going down, when your muscle mass is going up. Get one every so often, and you can figure out you're getting things done and making progress even when it doesn't feel like you are. Or if you don't want the body comp right away, why don't you get a B12 shot? See if it gives you more energy on a daily basis. You get them weekly, like I do. You get more energy on a daily basis. And you feel better about getting things done and how you're living your life. It's fantastic. They care about you. They're going to get you results. They're going to ask you tough questions. If you give them honest answers, they'll get you on a program that works. They'll get you results you need. Go see my friends at Apollo Men's Health.
Informed opinions are oftentimes presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brenham.
Final segment of the Killer Bees here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joe George and Joel Blank here with you today. Jeremy Brenham was here until 5, but he left.
If a tree falls in the forest quickly,
okay,
did it ever fall?
Does it matter if it fell quickly or not?
Well, it does, because you were here for a while kind of before you fell. You were leaning.
It's true.
But then when you fell so quickly, and there was still more of a forest that had to endure the weather and the elements.
I don't
know.
I'm lost. I think you have to answer your own question.
I mean, he bowed out early.
That's true.
So was he here at all?
He was here.
Okay.
Speaking of here, we have a weird schedule next week. We will not have a show on Monday. We will not have a show on Friday, but on Friday next week, we'll have a show tomorrow. Next Friday, we will not have a show. We'll have a 30-minute show, but we will be live the entire station. We'll be at East River 9 next Friday. We are going to do a watch-along, watch party. We're all going to be at East River 9. We're going to do a stream-only show, so we'll be listening on the app, on the website, but also just like they have this new beautiful TV outside at East River 9. We're all going to be hanging out watching games. Maybe John Granato will be there. He was Granato Claus last night.
Boy, wasn't he, though?
He handed out Coors Lights like it was candy.
But
it was
incredible. But the thing is he's so dedicated that, like, people said no, and he almost got offended.
I know.
Yeah. There were a few young ladies there that weren't drinking and or working, and he was like, no, really. Well, he came back like 2 and 3 times.
They were at one point, I was ready for another beer, and he was reloading, and I got impatient, so I got another beer, and I got some dirty looks from people we work with. I could tell that they were not happy with me that I was drinking another beer in that moment.
Really?
Fact.
So you're going to bring it up but not name names?
Ooh.
Juicy
Brian, I like it.
Yeah, I'm not going to name names.
Branham's not here. I know he likes drama, so I'm going to start some drama.
Branham was not part of this. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day presented by CarWreckTexas.com.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Give me your bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the Car Wreck of the Day, brought to you by CarWreckTexas.com.
All right, our Car Wreck of the Day, brought to you by CarWreckTexas.com. Get in your nominations at 713-780-3776. I'm going to start here today, Joel. Is that okay?
Are you? Well, I mean, all of a sudden you're running things, and now...
Do you want to start?
No, go right ahead, Joe. I'll let you start, because I'm amicable that way every day.
I'm gonna nominate a bunch of teams in one fell swoop, okay? If the Atlanta Braves lose tonight, the 4 winningest teams in baseball, the Tampa Bay Rays, Baltimore Orioles, Atlanta Braves, and Los Angeles Dodgers, who won 404 games between them, will go 1-12 in the postseason. So I would like to nominate all these supposedly really good teams for being a total disaster in the playoffs for the car wreck of the day.
Okay. And I've already... Welcome to the party, Dre. Thanks for joining us, and I'm extremely sorry for your loss. I already gave Dre credit for the fact that he got in with Baltimore fans who... already have a lot of receipts that they have to live up to. I love how people just disappear and don't own it after they eat it for some of their tweets previously. But I'm not going to go that direction. I'm going to stay in the baseball playoffs like you. But I'm going to say that Arcia, the shortstop of the Braves, deserves this one because he's wearing it twofold. And Bryce Harper, what I love about all this, and if you missed it, there was reports out that were verified that Arcia was laughing and calling Harper out, Bryce Harper, for his base running that they call blunder. I didn't think it was a blunder. I think he was being aggressive that he had to be, and it backfired because Michael Harris made a hell of a catch. But the fact is that he took it personally, took it to task, and hit two bombs. And rounding the bases both times, he completely stared Arcia down, and Arcia was just basically trying to hide in a corner somewhere.
Yeah.
And then in the postgame press conference, he took it to another level, basically explaining, this is baseball. This happens, and then I do what I do. And basically, he didn't shy away from it. He owned it. I loved every bit of this. don't poke the bear when the bear's as good as Bryce Harper.
I'll just like throw in there like the complaining that the Braves were doing that somehow like the quote got out there and it was supposed to be in like a more hush hush setting that the media made a bigger deal of it. Like someone said it,
right?
So like and there's media around. Like what do you expect if you don't want to say like if you don't want to have those things be issues, then don't say them. Like, it was just, the whole situation was bizarre. I know, BMAC, you just got here, but do you have
a nomination?
Do.
It's to the city of Dallas overall, but in particular, a reporter that we probably all know, Clarence Hill Jr., at least we know of him. He sent out a tweet, this was yesterday, quoting, "Dallas has owned Houston in everything but Major League Baseball, high school football, high school basketball, pro basketball, and pro football. It's time to do it in baseball, Rangers over Astros." First off, the Cowboys have done nothing since the Texans have been in the NFL in 2002. They have the same amount of playoff wins. Neither one has been to a conference championship. The Rockets have two titles to the Mavericks, one. And you're bringing up two different high school sports?
Yeah.
Shut up, Clarence. Shut up, Dallas. You haven't dominated Houston in anything.
Didn't North Shore actually win it against the team that was quote-unquote Dallas-y?
Yeah,
I mean, North Shore and Katy kick ass in high school football every year.
Yeah, I just...
What are you talking about?
To me, like, there is no... Like, this is the first time... I've been in Houston for almost 10 years. This is going to be the first time that it's actually mattered, I guess. Like, I guess when I first got here, like, what, 2015, 2016, there was a Mavs-Rockets series...
Yeah,
in the playoffs,
there was a series that was the gun to the head thing that got the Rockets social media guy got fired.
My boy Chad, yeah. my boy Chad, R.I.P. Chad. Yeah,
that was never gotten fired.
That was brutal.
That's because Mark Cuban threw a temper tantrum.
Yeah, I know.
But he also knew how he could get to Les Alexander because Les and his ex-wife were the founders or close to the founders of PETA.
Yeah, whatever. It was so stupid. All right, let's choose our winner.
Wait a minute, can't we also just throw the key from L.A. in there?
Oh, he's just car wreck of the year.
Key from L.A., congratulations on supporting the Utah Jazz of Major League Baseball. You threw it in our face all year. The Dodgers were going to go further. They were better. They were going to be the champs. And Bill Plaschke, too, to Jeremy's point.
Yeah, Bill Plaschke's always the nomination.
Key from L.A. and all Dodgers fans, suck it for another year. You're the Utah Jazz. You're great in the regular season, and then you go poop all over the place and go home.
Car wreck of the day, Twins manager Rocco Bardelli. For blaming the Shadows from 3209.
Okay, that's true.
Yeah, I know, but I feel like
Shadows are a train wreck from like 2 days ago.
Shadows are like batter's eye. Both teams have to hit with
it. That's a delayed car wreck of the day, so I think we're going to have to pass on that one.
Brian, you can be the judge and jury. Who gets it?
I think we dunk on Dallas.
Dallas sucks. Clarence?
Clarence Hill Jr., train wreck of the week.
Car wreck, sorry. Car wreck of the day brought to you by CarWreckTexas.com.
You guys voted that, not me, because I'm very leery of crapping on anything to do with a team you haven't beat yet.
I think it's just annoying to brag about something that hasn't existed. So I'm just going to dunk on it.
He bragged about high school sports, two of them.
Okay. And Frank, like, you're right, Joel. Maybe it's early. Maybe it's
I saw your face when I said that. I'm just not that guy.
Maybe it's going to make BMAC and I the car wreck of the day.
I'll take that on the chin. I don't care.
Well, I've already won it twice. So, all right, that does it for us here on the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Joel Blank, Joe George here with you, Jeremy. We'll be back tomorrow at 3. We've got Game On with Barry Laminack and Jerome Solomon. That's next here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.